the cracks in the Patriots, you know, franchise, I think that the Redskins or some other team would love to have the kind of problems that the Patriots have there. It's like, you know, walking out and looking like, ah, daggone, my Porsche has, you know, a flat tire, but I'll just go drive my Ferrari. You know, like, we would love to have problems like that. But, you know, the Patriots are still the Patriots, and I expect that, like you said, they're pissed off. They're going to come out there and really take it to the Titans.
Here's what I'm going to do this weekend.
15 beers. That's a whole lot of brew in one night.
Well, I mean, not this weekend.
You're trying to drown the
tonight. Play disc golf tomorrow, too, at like 10 o'clock.
15 beers to get here. I don't know how many more did I leave. Take my change in tears. Drink my 15 beers.
I don't know why more people don't listen to Johnny Paycheck singing about drinking 15 beers. Oh, boy. The Mattress Warehouse Hotline. That's where I was headed. Chris Price joins me. Boston Sports Journal, at C. Price NFL on Twitter. What's this? The Drive for Five as well. A remarkable run of the 2016 Patriots for all of you New England football fans out there. Chris, a pleasure, sir. How are you?
Not bad. Hey, I love that piece of audio you were playing before I came in, talking about, you know, how the Redskins would love to have the same kind of problems that the Patriots have.
Yeah.
In New England, we call those first world NFL problems.
Yeah,
you know, it's the Ferrari or the Porsche.
You ain't kidding, man. And that was Mike Jones from the USA Today, who used to work for the Post. And I think most of my callers would completely agree with that. And that's why, I don't know how you feel about it, Chris. I feel like that's why whenever there's one of these stories, whenever there's a Deflategate or a Spygate or a Tom Brady's not getting along with Bill Belichick, blah, 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 they traded Jimmy G, everybody goes after it with such tenacity. And they're so over the top about it because I just feel like there's so much venom from other football markets, whether it's subconsciously or it's, you know, the cognitively they're doing it on purpose. Because we don't have these empires anymore in professional sport, yeah, like what they built, especially in football.
Yeah, it really is the case. It's really something else. The only time I can ever recall it, I don't want to say even like backfiring in their face, was in 2007, where, you know, you had the run that they had with Spygate, and they ended up going 18-0, and they ended up losing the Super Bowl. But still, no one circles the wagons better than this team. There's a big sign at the players' entrance at Gillette Stadium that says ignore the noise. And it's really true. It's come to be a bit of a cliche in New England, but, you know, when you consider their track record going through things like this, I don't know if this is going to shake them at all, really. I talked to a handful of guys in the locker room over the course of the week, and they all kind of rolled their eyes at it and said, you know, it's just kind of par for the course around here.
It is. Is there anything, anything can happen in the NFL. We've seen it. It's even happened to the Patriots before. Every time they go down to Miami, I don't know what happens down there, but it's the NFL, so it takes place. I can't imagine anything but that team coming out pissed off, motivated, and blowing the doors off of a Tennessee Titans team that, quite frankly, I don't think necessarily deserves to be there. They were talking about firing their entire administration just a couple of weeks ago on those radio stations. If anything other than total domination happens, Chris, I'm going to be surprised.
Yeah, I mean, my colleague Greg Bedard at our site today predicted 45-9, which I think is a pretty fair assessment as to the way everyone around here thinks things are going to go down on Saturday night. A lot of things have to happen if Tennessee is going to have a chance in this thing. Look, Mariota's got to have the game of his life, and they got to have some, you know, force some takeaways and maybe get some special teams magic. But I think when you really start to look at this thing on paper, I mean, the talent difference is palpable on both sides of the ball. And, you know, I think Tennessee is a great story, and what they did last week was really impressive, going on the road and winning that game. Just kind of a side note, I think it's interesting that, you know, all they needed, all the ammunition that Bill Belichick needed was the fact that Tennessee went into Kansas City and won on the road. Last year someone asked Bill about, you know, the value of playing at home in the postseason and how important it was, and he just kind of shrugged and said, yeah, you know, Dallas, ask me how Dallas did with home field advantage in a situation like that. So, you know, if you wanted to keep guys focused on what's important, he was able to just flip on the film and say, look, you know, Tennessee went on the road, beat Kansas City. So, you know, we're not going to be able to roll the footballs out there and beat the Titans. So I think that kind of snapped some guys around Gillette Stadium back to reality a little bit. But, yeah, that being said, I don't think it's going to be much of a ball game on Saturday.
Chris, what is the noise going to be like if they don't win a championship? I think if you win another Super Bowl, even if Jimmy G has the 49ers in the postseason next year, I think you're going to be fine. But if they fall short, that's always the expectation in New England. Is there, even after everything that Belichick and Brady have accomplished together, will there be grumbling? Will there be people that said, hey, you should have moved on from this guy a year early like you've done anyone else without Brady on the back of his jersey? How do you think that's going to be digested?
Yeah, I think that, as you mentioned, I mean, the standard around New England is clear. If they don't win a championship, the season's a disappointment. And I think that while this is not a classic Patriots team of, you know, ones that we've seen the last couple of years, I still think, at least when you stack them up against the rest of the AFC, they're the best of a wildly flawed bunch. And, you know, there's no reason to think that we're not going to see a Patriots-Steelers Super Bowl, or a Patriots-Steelers AFC Championship game. And then, you know, given the fact that the game is in Foxborough, that gives the Patriots, I think, a leg up in that one. So you start kind of looking at the rest of the field and start saying, well, you know, maybe the Vikings, if the Vikings get there, you know, playing at home, you know, the Saints, you know, I think would be a really good opponent for them. But, you know, yeah, I mean, I think really the bottom line is, to answer your question, it's Super Bowl, and I think there would be some grumbling. I think obviously a lot of it would depend on how it all went down, but I think there would be some people who would be upset and consider this season, you know, something less than a success.
I would agree with that as well. What is the plan, do you think? Do they draft a quarterback this year? Is that something now that they approach differently? All great things come to an end, and perhaps, you know, we're looking at Tom Brady. He's got two or three more years left on his contract. Every single year since he's turned 35, I feel like they've predicted this swan song for him. It's never taken place, and nobody takes preparation and clearly their body and their diet and all that more seriously than he does. Maybe he can play another two or three years, but now that they don't have anybody else in the till, how do they approach the quarterback position moving forward?
Well, you know, Chad, the really interesting thing is they've been, over the last decade or so, more aggressive than almost anyone else when it comes to going out and drafting quarterbacks or signing free agent quarterbacks or just bringing guys in just kind of kick the tires on them, even with Brady under center. You know, they've had Garoppolo in. They drafted Ryan Mallett, Brian Hoyer. They had Tebow in there. Every single year, they go out and get someone. I think the context is different this time around, but I think the overall message is going to be the same. Whether they end up drafting a guy, you know, in the third or fourth round, or maybe, you know, the top of the second with that 49ers pick, I think, you know, it remains to be seen. But the Patriots are going to be just as aggressive when it comes to going out and getting a quarterback in the offseason. I just think it's kind of moved up the priority list a little bit as opposed to years past.
Are they the best team right now left in the playoffs?
Yeah, they really are. Again, you know, at least when you stack them up against the AFC, I'm not trying to say that they're a great Patriots team. I don't even know if they're a truly great team, period. But when you consider the rest of the league right now, especially in the AFC, they're going to be playing at home. They got Brady and Belichick. You know, everyone is relatively healthy. They had perfect attendance at practice for the first time since late September, Thursday. So, you know, they're as healthy as they're going to get. They have Brady and Belichick. They're going to be playing, you know, at least in theory, the next two games at home. Things are starting to set up nicely for them. So, yeah, I guess to answer your question, at least from this perspective, they're the best team in the league right now.
Who gives them the biggest matchup difficulty, do you think, in the Super Bowl? Whoever comes out of the NFC, whether it's Minnesota, Atlanta getting back there. We saw what happened last year. That looks like it's on the table now. New Orleans with those two running backs. Who's the one team you think would put the biggest obstacle for them to overcome in the ultimate game?
I think the Minnesota defense would pose a real challenge for that team. I don't know if the Minnesota offense would be, you know, complimentary enough to keep them in a game against New England, but I think the Minnesota defense would be really, really interesting. And then you get the whole intangible aspect of, you know, Minnesota playing a Super Bowl at home, and so it would be a home game for the Vikings in some respect. So I think that of the teams that are left right now, you know, on the other side of the, you know, on the other side of the coin in the NFC, I think that a Patriots-Vikings Super Bowl would be fascinating on a number of levels. But yeah, that Vikings defense, I'd be fascinated to see how Brady and Belichick game plan to try and beat that group.
Yeah, I would too. And I think that's the matchup we're going to get if I had to pick it right now. At C. Price NFL, follow him on Twitter. The Boston Sports Journal is where he plies his trade. Thank you very much, Chris. Have a great weekend, buddy. Appreciate the time.
Take care, Chad. We'll talk soon.
Take care. We certainly will. If I have anything to say about it, we will. Lots to get to. We will do it. I'm taking you all the way until 6:30, including some of these Blake Bortles comments that everybody was up in arms about. Shocker, I wasn't up in arms about them because you all need to settle down. It's Chad Dukes versus the world. Wake up!